The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports today, live from Grand Canyon University, where the supposed largest Starbucks in the West. Here on campus, it's a good time to be out here. Al McCoy is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk with the Suns' voice about the second half of the season for the Suns. It starts tonight. They're at Denver. Dan Marley coaching. Al was here a couple of weeks ago to watch Dan. Kevin Johnson, is he a Hall of Famer or not? KJ, over the weekend, being named as a finalist. The Suns at the trade deadline in 48 hours. What deals do they make? And Eric Bledsoe returning. Other than that, there's nothing going on with the Suns. It's a big story of the day. Al McCoy will join us on all things Suns coming up here at Grand Canyon University in about 15 minutes. News and notes, Paula Bovin at the bottom of the hour, things going on around Arizona sports. And as always, on Tuesdays at 10:45, we have Talk to the Lopes. Today, GCU women's golf coach Don Powers. They have a huge event coming up this weekend that they want to talk about. We'll have Don Powers on Talk to the Lopes, what we do with Grand Canyon University. Hope you had a great long sports weekend. I found myself watching USA against Russia on Saturday morning in the hockey game. That was the highlight of the weekend. Between Friday night, Arizona State beating U of A, Saturday morning, the hockey game, it's what makes sports so great. People have asked me through the years, why do you keep doing sports when all it really is talking about what they do off the field, or what this goes on with this guy, or this guy drags this woman downstairs and beats her, or this guy drinks too much, or this guy goes into rehab, or this guy says he's gay. Nothing all to do with the games. Doesn't drive you crazy? Yeah, it does. I understand that there's this interest and infatuation with all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm a fan of watching the games. Friday night, I saw a game that wasn't terrific, aesthetically pleasing, watching ASU beat U of A. Nonetheless, they did so. Saturday morning's USA-Russia hockey game was about as good as it gets. The lady who made Bodie Miller cry in an interview was only doing her job. She just wanted to go to, like, the 20th degree. And so our country's been up in arms over a skier crying on television. The All-Star game was dreadful. It was miserable. Unless, of course, you're my kids, who they're in their teens, most of them, or outside of the teens, and they like watching the All-Star game. So, you know, you got a little bit of this, a little bit of that over the weekend. All in all, I was pretty pleased with what's considered to be a dead time of year in the world of sports. If you're all excited about all-star games in any sport, that's a problem. That's a problem. Eric Sorensen joins us back in studio. You actually were on the floor. Did you get trampled at the end of the U of A ASU game Friday night? You were down there shooting, right?
I did not. Luckily, the nice security people at Arizona State, who have been under their own bit of scrutiny over the last couple weeks when it comes to keeping students, I don't know, orderly, I guess would be the right word. They came down with about 25 seconds left and said, you know, those cameras you're using are pretty expensive. You may want to grab that and hold it like a baby as soon as the game ends, because you are about 5 feet in front of the students, and the students are going to be on the floor if Arizona State wins. And Arizona State won, and guess what? The students got to rush the floor twice. Amazing. Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen here at Grand Canyon. When they have their day, when they have their time, and they're going to have their time over here, when they get off probation and they have, by the NCAA, it's not anything that they've done, and they're allowed to go into March Madness, and they're going to have a WAC game against New Mexico State, who's the best team in the WAC, and the game will be on television, and they're going to have their time over here. I'm thinking it would be about the same. The two student sections are vastly different, in my opinion. You've now been to games here. You've been to games at ASU. This isn't a bag on one or the other. I think there's a certain amount of, I don't know, lack of experience over here, and that's only natural because they haven't been Division I for a year, right? So when we have that time over here, because it's going to happen, if U of A beats ASU in Tucson, they don't rush the floor. There's no reason to. They're supposed to do that. ASU did what they were supposed to do on national television, so I understand rushing the floor. I'm not a fan of rushing the floor. Not a fan of it at all. That's one of those deals that someone's going to get killed someday or left permanently disabled. That has already happened here in our great state. A guy named Joe Kay down in Tucson. Google it, look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. But, you know, Erica, I think if you look at the two schools, I understand what happened on Friday night. The refs blew a call. Jahi should have got teched up. That's the way it is. I'm a fan of his, but let's not sit here and have rules for some and rules for another. Of course, ASU fans say, well, Sean Miller should have had a technical thrown on him for being out of the box. Just look at yourselves. Don't look at your neighbor's house and say, well, they should be doing this and they should be doing that. There, I feel much better now. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind. Actually, our Facebook question of the day first. Facebook question of the day here is E with that.
Well, Brad, you mentioned earlier that the trade deadline for the Suns is about 48 hours away. Thursday, Ryan McDonough's first deadline as GM here in Phoenix. He was extremely active this offseason after he was hired, reshaped the roster, added a bunch of cap flexibility, including Emeka Okafor, whose contract is very appealing to other teams. So today, it's pretty simple. We ask you, would you rather see the Suns make a move now to improve the present team? They are a playoff team, and they should be getting stronger if and when Eric Bledsoe returns. Or save the money, make a run next year at a megastar like Kevin Love, maybe LaMarcus Aldridge, if those guys become available. Head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Like our page and share your input. Me personally, I say you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. They should just stay pat and not make a panic move, because Ryan McDonough, doesn't make panic moves. So,
why is it a panic move? Kevin Love is the guy they need to go after.
Well, of course.
Look, Kevin Love is everybody is writing and presuming that he's going to go be a Laker at the end of 2015. If Kevin Love can get out of Minnesota today and get out of Minnesota and come to Phoenix, and all the Suns have to do is include Emeka Okafor and an insurance payout and chase Kevin Love, yeah, he can opt out of his contract. That would be the one question everybody would ask. Oh, my gosh, you gave up all this, and he can walk in a year and a half. I'd be willing to put my money down on making Phoenix a desirable place for Kevin Love now, Eric. I don't want to wait. And Minnesota's not going to keep Kevin Love. Love's the guy.
But you also have Eric Bledsoe's deal that's going to be up. And are the Suns going to be able to afford Bledsoe and Kevin Love in the next couple of years?
What has Eric Bledsoe done this season? He's been terrific when he's been out on the floor. He hasn't been on the floor. He wasn't on the floor last season. Is he willing to accept the fact that his market value has dropped? Is it just business that Goran Dragic has played every bit of an all-star? See, I think if you're Ryan McDonough, look, you got to look at guys in the face during contract negotiations and say, yeah, you've done this well, and you've done this well, and you've done this well, but here's the warts. And the wart on Bledsoe is he's been hurt. You can't deny that. I don't know. So go over and vote on that. That's over on our Facebook page. Let's get you caught up some of things on my mind in the world of sports. Al McCoy in about 5 minutes. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Honda Resort and Casino, where this weekend it's everything you'd want, the Winter Games. It's this weekend. They're going to have the Mountain Mutt Contest. They're going to have the sled dogs up there. They're going to have a lot of fun with the Winter Games. It's an annual part at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. And, of course, the Sunrise Ski Resort. They make snow at night. You can head off to Sunrise and do some sledding and some all the things in the snow, have some fun. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top, a big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. Pull down the slot, eat some great food, have some fun. The place to stay up in the White Mountains, that's the Honda Resort and Casino. Here is Goran Dragic on his All-Star weekend. He was in New Orleans as he gets ready to start the second half of the season tonight in Denver.
It was a good experience, you know. It was my first time to be at the All-Star weekend, so it's something special. And, I always going to remember those 3 days. And, I meet a lot of new friends, people, and, it was fun.
You know, along with the Kevin Love story in Minnesota, that he can opt out of his contract at the end of the 2015 season, today it's come out that Charlotte has now contacted the Lakers about a Pau Gasol deal. If you're in an arms race and you're the Phoenix Suns, do you blink and say, oh my gosh, we have to have Pau Gasol? Do you circle back with the Lakers? We're 48 hours away from the NBA trade deadline. Adding Pau Gasol down in the low post makes a lot of sense to me. He's an older player. I like the direction the younger Suns are going. I think if you were to give up, you're going to have to give up a lot to get Kevin Love. But guys, those first round picks, even with the deep draft this year, you could part with two of those and still be just fine, in my opinion. Now, what else do you have to give up? That's the big question. Kevin Johnson named a finalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame. So the class is going to be announced at the Final Four in April. Here's the deal on KJ. If I say Kevin Johnson to 10 Suns fans, 6 of them will love him, 4 of them will not. There was not a more polarizing player, and I mean even with Charles Barkley, than Kevin Johnson. There were people that were rabid, loyal, season ticket holder Suns fans that didn't like Kevin Johnson back in the day because they believed he couldn't stay healthy. I saw Kevin at his peak. He averaged 20 points, 10 assists, 3 straight seasons. But I couldn't believe the people that bashed on KJ. Has he done enough to warrant going into the Basketball Hall of Fame? Some people over the weekend whose opinions I respect said, absolutely, it's a no-brainer, it's a no-doubter. Others were not so sure. So we're going to talk about Kevin Johnson with Al McCoy here in a few minutes. Some of the other things, the NFL Scouting Combine is this weekend. Sports 360 AZ, as we do every year, we will be at the Combine in Indianapolis, thanks to our good friends at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. They're a big part of what we do. And they say, Brad, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to be at, we're there with you. All right, we want to be in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. So Eric's going to see Johnny Manziel, who dared the Houston Texans to take him number one. Nice. Is it Teddy Bridgewater? Is it Johnny Manziel? Is it Blake Bortles? Will they go wrong with any of those three? Eric will be at Indianapolis this coming weekend. Free agency starts March 11th. You can expect this weekend will be a lot of agents meeting with teams, and that Carlos Dansby's name will be right in the middle of the conversation. Carlos Dansby saying over the weekend he deserves to be right there among the highest paid players at his position. Tom Bahal currently makes $12.5 million. That's what Dansby wants. And there's free agent quarterback news. Where's Michael Vick going to go? Where's Josh Freeman going to go? Where's Josh McCown going to go? The Diamondbacks, their first spring training game is a week from tomorrow. And we have ASU beating on U of A that I'll get to a little bit later on in the show. A story with Greg Byrne raising the prices, a one-time contract. It's not raising prices. Greg Byrne telling the season ticket holders that they are going to be charged a one-time contribution to help renovate McHale Center. Greg Byrne wrote, quote, this contribution is not optional, end quote. How about that? You're going to pay for this whether you like it or not. And we've got some other stuff around the Olympics that I'll get to as well. But up next, on the other side, we'll go up to Denver. The longtime play-by-play voice of the Phoenix Suns, Al McCoy, will join us. The Hall of Famer comes up after this timeout. Dan Majerle coaching, Kevin Johnson, a Hall of Famer, Bledsoe returning, the Suns trade deadline in 48 hours, Emeka Okafor, and much more with Al McCoy. The great Al joins us on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat at Grand Canyon University, sports360az.com, and AZ Central Sports on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az.
From Grand Canyon University, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. We've been partnering with them now for about the last month and a half. Appreciate AZ Central calling us up saying, we want to carry your show, Sussmat. Why not? Of course, on Twitter, White Mountain Radio, as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Al McCoy, the Hall of Famer, voice of the Suns, joins us in Denver with a lot going on around the Suns. Actually, Al, I wanted to start out with Suns of the past. Your reaction on Kevin Johnson making it as a finalist to the Basketball Hall of Fame over the weekend?
Well, obviously, Brad, I was excited for KJ, and certainly anyone that would go back and look at his career would say that he definitely should be under consideration. He deserves that honor. I don't think there's any question about it. He's been in the Ring of Honor at U.S. Airways Center for a number of years. Was one of the greatest point guards, I think, ever to play this game. And I was excited to see that he is a candidate, no question about it.
Did you think, Al, that he was appreciated enough as a player? Meaning, when and this is back when I was doing the Suns pre- and post-game shows, and fans would call in, and this was in the mid-90s, that there was so much talk about his health. I felt like he was somewhat underappreciated when you look at his whole body of work.
Well, I think you have a good point there. Now, obviously, when Kevin Johnson played, you could be a lot more physical in defending those small guards than you can today. And KJ was one of those players that never blinked about driving the ball to the basket. And he took a lot of punishment, no question about it. I think if he were playing today with the defensive rules where You can't impede the progress of those guards. Who knows what statistics he might put up. But he was a tremendous competitive-type player. And, you know, this is bringing something up different, but I like to mention it every once in a while because so many fans aren't aware of the fact that at one point in the history of the Phoenix Suns, they had these three point guards on their roster: Kevin Johnson, Jason Kidd, and Steve Nash. Not a bad group to be around. But I think that probably KJ might possibly not have been appreciated as much. And, of course, the fact that he was playing in Phoenix, still considered a small market at that particular point in time. But had some great games, and, of course, he was involved in that great series with Chicago when the Suns were playing the Bulls for the NBA championship. But certainly deserving of the consideration for the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And I thought, Al, one last point on Kevin in the conversation is, when he came back, when the injuries did happen, I think that those that were naysayers of him, naysayers is too strong a word, but those that questioned him, I think that smoothed everything over because he didn't have to come back and help the organization, yet he did. And that I think was forgotten about in the Kevin Johnson run as well.
Well, that's true. And, of course, the great thing is, as you know, he's going to be at U.S. Airways Center when the Houston Rockets come in on Sunday evening, and will be kind of commemorating that great slam dunk he had in the playoffs over Houston's Hakeem Olajuwon. So it'll be great to have KJ in the building.
How about Joe Gil Martin and the Kurt Gowdy Award? Here's something that is not getting that much attention, except I think for those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond. For Joe Gil Martin to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Joe Gil Martin is one of the premier sports writers in the country and has been for many, many, many years. It's interesting because my move to Phoenix and Joe's had a lot of similarity. When I came to the Valley, I was covering minor league baseball, so was Joe Gil Martin. He had just come to the Valley. I was covering Arizona State, so was Joe Gil Martin. And then many people may have forgotten that Joe was my analyst on Suns television at one particular point in time. But very richly deserved, and I was extremely excited and pleased to see that Joe will be getting the Kurt Gowdy Award from the Basketball Hall of Fame. He was the original president of the NBA Writers Association, and of course covered the Suns from day one, but he is, as I mentioned, a premier sports writer, one of the best in the country, and certainly an honor that maybe is late in coming. He should have maybe gotten many years ago. But I know that his peers around the country, and by that I mean some of the top national sports writers in the country, were pushing for Joe to get this award for a number of years because he's been highly respected among his peers in the media for a long, long time. Well-deserved, and congratulations to Joe Gil Martin.
Yeah, well said, well put. Al McCoy with us, voice of the Suns Hall of Famer in Denver tonight, second half of the season. Suns and Nuggets tomorrow night, home against Boston, as Al mentioned on Sunday night, the neat tribute against Houston for Kevin Johnson, the Hakeem Olajuwon dunk, and much more. Now, I'm over here at Grand Canyon University. You had a grandson who graduated from here. Yeah. I heard that you were in the crowd. I heard you were in the crowd at a game recently. What did you make of Coach Marley at this point, Al?
Well, you know my affection for Coach Dan Marley as a player, as a broadcaster, as a coach, wherever he is, he's a winner. And the excitement that they have been able to project at GCU has just been unbelievable. And it's great to see the students come out and back the team as they do. As you know, every game there's a sellout. They're going to expand that arena as soon as the basketball season is over. And what kid in the United States of America wouldn't want to play college basketball for Dan Marley? And I think the future is so bright for Grand Canyon University basketball that it's going to be amazing. And in their first year in the WAC, in Division I, they've been very, very competitive. In fact, the game that I went to was against Utah Valley, was the battle for first place in the WAC, and here they are in their first year. But it's exciting, and the show they put on at GCU with the band, the cheerleaders, and the team And with all the students there, it really makes for a fun night.
I was at his practice yesterday morning. I dropped my daughter back after the break, and he was just killing his guys, working them. I'm not just grinding them and getting frustrated. But I think when I saw him, and it's only natural, when I saw him back in November, he was a little more reserved than what I'm seeing now. I see a guy that's really growing into his role as being the head coach, and I think it's fun to see. Before I let you go, so the trade deadline's 48 hours away. The Suns, I think, are probably one of the most interesting teams because they have so much to work with. What do you think happens, Al?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Right now, the Suns have 31 games left in the season starting tonight here in Denver. As everyone knows, they won 30 games already. They're seventh in the Western Conference. I have a lot of confidence right now in the decision-making being handled by the Suns. Obviously, I think already the duo of Ryan McDonough and his crew with Lon Babby has taken a tremendous turn in the right direction for the Suns. Whether they're going to be able to pull off something before the trading deadline on Thursday, I don't think anyone knows, but I know that they are investigating, they are inspecting, they are considering every type of possibility that could be another step forward for the Suns team. So it will be interesting to see what transpires. I think the actual deadline is maybe 1 o'clock Phoenix time on Thursday afternoon, and whether the Suns will be involved in any types of movement right now is just a wait-and-see situation. Certainly the club is in a great position right now to do nothing but improve. They've surprised the entire basketball world. Jeff Hornacek has to be one of the top candidates for Coach of the Year. Several players have to be candidates for the most improved players of the season. So it's an exciting time for the Suns and the next few days to see if there's any possibility of doing something to even enhance this ball club more will be exciting to follow. But right now, I have to say, I don't have a clue, Brad.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I just think it's kind of interesting that you have Emeka Okafor, who hasn't played a game, who has a bad neck, who can't do much of anything. 10 years ago in the NBA, wouldn't even be a conversation of trading a guy like that for anything. Now it all has gone complete full circle, where yes, he's so valuable because of an insurance policy. That's how much the business side, Al, has taken over the game.
Well, no question about it, and you make a good point. And I do believe that if they could make a deal that would involve moving that Okafor contract, that is an extreme possibility because he's never going to play for the Suns, and I don't know what his physical condition is. No one really knows. We haven't had much of an update on it, but obviously he's not ready to play. And as you mentioned, it's a business financial decision to see what they do with the Okafor contract.
Last question, I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time. So the All-Star Weekend has come and gone. We have a new commissioner in place. Al, you've seen this league go through the David Stern era. What is the biggest challenge that Adam Silver faces moving forward with this current NBA from your view?
Well, in his press conference this weekend, his first, by the way, I was impressed with some of his ideas. He would like to see the age limit extended as to when a player can be eligible for the draft. Right now, it's 19, or you have to be a year away from your class that would have graduated from high school. He'd like to see that extended to 20 years of age, and so would I. I like his direction in that. He wants to take a hard look at the lottery situation, and he wants to continue to make the basketball played in the league better by saying right now there are no plans for any type of expansion. So I don't know him that well. He's been in the league a long time. He's been the assistant for David Stern for many years. The people that know him personally speak very highly about him. But I like his early approaches and the early ideas that he has as the new commissioner of the NBA. And I got kind of a kick. Obviously, Commissioner Stern contacted many, many people that have been in the league a long time. I happen to be one. in an email he sent me, he said, I know that our ideas have not always been agreed upon. And he's right. A lot of his decisions that he made, I didn't agree. But I did, and I sent back to him, always admired and respected his attitude and the way he fulfilled things in the NBA. And I did have respect for that, although I didn't agree with every decision that he made, obviously. He has and will always be recognized as probably the greatest commissioner of any of the major sports, and what he's done for the game internationally could never be forgotten, that's for sure.
Safe travels. Appreciate your time as always. I'll be at the game Sunday night. I'll stop by and say hi. Thanks, Al.
I hope so. Always good to be talking with you, Brad. Thank you.
Here's Al McCoy, Hall of Fame voice, the Phoenix Suns, for a couple of minutes here at Grand Canyon University. Appreciate Al's time. On the other side, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Later, we will have talked to the Lopes, Don Powers, the GCU women's golf coach. Sports360AZ.com. Surf around. Check it out. Plenty of content. We're Arizona-centric. Of course, we're on AZ Central Sports. They carry the show as well. And I'm on Twitter. You can reach out to me. Bang me over the head. Agree, disagree. I don't care. It's at Brad Sussmat, and on Facebook as well. Stay with us.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
My friend Paula Bovin joins us now. News Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Always good to catch up with Paula once a week as she does her thing and does it very, very well. Okay, so Bode Miller cries. The USA-Russia hockey game takes place over the weekend. And then we've got Charlie White, who looks like Eric Burns, reincarnated. Where do you want to start on the Olympics? And we have Bob Costas' eye hazing off again. Where do you want to start here on the Olympics? Because I know you're doing a lot of Olympic stuff over at AZ Central.
The Bode Miller thing is a little fresh in my mind because I was talking about it yesterday for this Olympic video we did. And I rewatched that whole interview. And I'm sorry, and I know he's apologized. He has backed this, the woman who, his name escapes me, interviewed him. But I just thought it was out of line by the end of the questioning. You know, when you look up at the sky, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on. So, yeah, that really bugged me.
Why is it, you know, you've done interviews with people and you've made them cry. I've done interviews with people and they show emotion. Mm-hmm. And why is it that there's people that sit in a truck that want to see someone cry, and that's the intent and purpose, and they're just hoping? I know that it brings numbers. It's like, I got to see Richard Sherman, even though Richard Sherman didn't even play at the end of the game, at the end of the Super Bowl. I'm going to see and hear about it because it's going to trend on Twitter. We're going to get a click out of it. Same thing applies here when I watch that interview. When I watched that interview, all it was just please keep going. Get him to that point where he's going to lose his mind.
Right.
And now our country, do you know where I'm going with this? It's like, why have we not learned when to stop?
I think in some journalism, the priority has changed. It's not about fairness and accuracy and doing the right thing. It's about getting the most hits on Twitter. It's about ratings. And, you know, there's always been a little of that in journalism, but, you know, it's more in the newspaper side and then TV, but there is a sort of desperation to stay afloat and financial stuff and all that. So I just think the motivation is wrong. And the thing that really got me, Brad, about that interview was also that it wasn't live. They had it, and it was delayed, and they had plenty of time to edit it. And even after looking it over, they chose not to. That was really surprising to me.
Well, it's because, hey, look, it got X amount of clicks.
Right.
Look, last week, I had 1,000,004 clicks on my YouTube channel at Sports 360 because I had 49 seconds of LeBron James dunking a basketball that nobody else had.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, so look, and from a business standpoint, that's great.
Right.
I mean, other people had it on their flip phones and it wasn't shot very well. Ours was so I get that on one hand. On the other hand, I'm still going to be here the next day even if I don't get that video.
Right.
And so taking the stance of an editor looking at that saying, "Oh no, this is giving full context to the story and think how many people are going to click and watch this." that works in 2014. There's going to be something else that comes along, because there always is. And clicks, to me, clicks, it's like, if I want to clicks, all I do is put girls up in Sports Illustrated swimsuits and say, who's the best-looking swimsuit model last 10 years? I'll get plenty of clicks, but I have no credibility.
And you look at the programming that is successful on television now. Much of it is reality shows that are, you know, things are misdirected, we're misinformed, there are outright lies we're being told, and exaggerations and everything else, and people don't seem to care. I mean, that's kind of the other part of the story, is the public seems to be okay with, you know, integrity not being a priority on television right now, so...
I'd rather see Bob Costas's lazy eye or pink eye than have him off the air for 4 or 5 days, because I was reading a column where they had the head of research on about Costas and why they had to take him off the air. Well, if you have to go to the head of research and say, well, Aunt Sue in Middletown, Kansas is uncomfortable with his lazy eye, and the people in Iowa, middle America, aren't happy, tough. That's where we're coming down to as well, which I think is kind of scary. And now the conversation is 6 days without Bob Costas, who's going to replace Bob Costas? I myself don't care, and I like him.
Right.
I don't watch Al Michaels. I don't watch Dan Patrick. I don't watch for Bob Costas.
Right.
Are you finding yourself watching those people?
I don't watch for them. I am comfortable when they're on, and I would have been fine with Costas staying on. I don't know really how bad the eye thing was looking. I mean, we've looked at his toupee for years and been okay with that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I would have been okay with him still on. And sometimes you wonder if we over-research things as a profession.
Well, you're finding out now. Wear red, it scores great, right?
Right, you know? There you go. Yes, yeah. I am. Indeed.
Love that Paula Bovin, but man, when she wears purple, forget it. No,
uh-huh.
Just kidding. ASU beating U of A in double overtime. So now ASU basketball is 28 in RPI. All of a sudden, Herb Sendek's doing his best coaching job ever, I've heard, which is ridiculous. He just has better talent now.
Of course.
How do you see ASU and where they stand?
I think they're in great position. I mean, they've obviously got to avoid tanking the season the rest of the way. But, you know, the thing I think that is the dominating theme right now is that they're such a mature team. When you think of how old Baczynski is, and you think of how old Marshall is, I just think that's made such a difference, and I think it'll make a difference down the stretch. And, you know, obviously that was a signature win for them. It did wonders for their RPI, which was already very good. So I see them not only getting into the postseason, but, you know, maybe getting a game or two.
Yeah, I think the balance of what they have now.
Right.
So They made a change after getting beat over the head in Tucson, where they put Jacobson into their starting lineup, and McKissick gives them high energy.
Right.
They're longer now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like this. U of A loses Brandon Ashley, and all of a sudden they're not as long, and they can't shoot straight, and people are wondering why they're struggling. Nick Johnson's 2 for his last 24 from three-point country. Yeah, it's because they lost a guy who's 6'10", that can stretch out an offense, or defense rather, and give them something on the other end of the floor. I think the little moves that they've made, and Baczynski's grown up. Baczynski was a whiny baby, I thought, the last couple of years.
Yeah, I never got that sense from him, but I definitely got the sense that his career was going to end after college until the season. I don't feel that way anymore, and I think part of it is this maturity and how hard he worked in the off season to be ready for this year, and clearly the staff has done a fantastic job of helping develop him this year too. You know, to have a shot now in the NBA. So, yeah, he's just really turned the corner, and this team has turned the corner, and it's been fun to watch, and people hate when I say this, but just as someone who loves the game of basketball, I'm happy to see that Sendek is going to save his job, because he's a guy with integrity in a sport of college coaches that don't necessarily have that trait, you know, and people don't like him sometimes, don't like his style, but I thought he really made adjustments this year.
Do you think it's too early to make that proclamation?
About Herb? Well, I don't think, I mean, I think if they lose the rest of their games and, you know, don't get into the tournament or, you know, barely do, then maybe we have to talk about it again. But I don't imagine that happening at all. This is a much more focused team, and they're going to win some more.
Because I don't know Ray Anderson
right
yet. I don't know what his view of and what the expectation level is. And while I think you're right, as we sit here today on February 18th, if they were to go into a tailspin, mm-hmm. and I don't see that happening, I think that they've got enough there on the back end, then I think things could work out just fine. I don't think Herb deserves to be booted out of here,
mm-mm.
but there's no question that there's a bit of a malaise about the program, and I hope that this moves it forward. You can't go up to Colorado and Utah and get swept. If you get split, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you know, and so far what Ray Anderson has seen from Herb Sundek has to impress him. I mean, he's come at a very good time, I think, for this coach. So I agree. I mean, unless we see something drastic happen here in the next few weeks, which I don't envision at all, Herb and this program is going to be just fine going into next season. Now, what
anything,
will they do next
else?
Season with the recruits? I'm not so sure, but right now they're good.
Anything else on your mind? Anything else you going around town?
No, you know, I was just, when you called, I was crunching some numbers with U of A about their shooting, which you had mentioned, you know, Nick Johnson, and I'm just looking what, since Ashley has, you know, was taken off or left the floor those 2 minutes in that Cal game, what has happened to their field goal shooting? It, you know, he wasn't the dominant go-to guy or anything, but they are struggling in that area, and it's making me wonder what's going to happen in the tournament.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that. And the good news, if you're a U of A fan, I'll let you go off this, is they have time to figure it out. You can go stub your toe and split games and all that stuff. They're going to go make the tournament. It's a matter of they've got to find somebody else in a different sort of way. And the whole Hollis Jefferson thing, I think he's a terrific player.
Right.
But you're losing that stretching of the defense on the other end when you can take a 6'10 guy and put him out at three-point country and he can hit a three. There's just no other way around that.
No, you're absolutely right. And I also agree that they're going to, you know, they're still figuring it out, how to match up with different teams, what lineup to keep in, how many guards you keep in at once. There's a lot of things they've got to sort out before this regular season ends.
Stay well. Good visiting with you as always. Thanks.
You too, Fred. Okay, bye.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Always good to catch up with Paula. Talk to the Lopes is next. On the other side, I do believe we're going to be joined by Don Powers, the golf coach, on Talk to the Lopes every week when we come to GCU, or even when we're in studio. We have Talk to the Lopes on Tuesdays. That's next, and I've got some other things on my mind. The Costas interview and his future at NBC has been brought up, and I think it's interesting how they did bring it up. We've got USC crushing a football recruit on Letter of Intent Day. I've got to get into that and much more that's on my mind as we continue on. Busy Tuesday, Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ, Brad Sussmat at Grand Canyon University. Always good to be with you. Monday through Friday, we do our thing, and then over on the site, if you miss any part of the show is there. We put it up for 24 hours, and you can check out any part. If you missed Al McCoy earlier, Paula Bova News and Notes, you can check that out over on Sports360AZ. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you, just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford. So Santan Ford, I was there yesterday. I was there yesterday for President's Day, and the place was packed. And I was talking to one of the sales associates, and they said, Brad, we had 30 people getting vehicles here this morning. Day before, they had just as many getting vehicles there. President's Day weekend sale went very, very well at Santan Ford. People want that car. They want that truck. The vehicle that I drive in, for me, the 2014 Ford Fusion, it makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? As I drive around today here at GCU doing my show, and this afternoon I'll be coaching my kids, and tonight it's running around, running errands, maybe come back here to GCU, take my daughter out to dinner. I don't know, but I'm on the run from the Ford Fusion that I drive from Santan Ford. Santan Ford at the Santan 202, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. You can go to santanford.com, and it'll work out. Talk to the Lopes, as we do every week. Last week it was Dan Marley. This week it's Don Powers. Women's golf program, a ton of success. They have a big event, the GCU Women's Invitational, next Monday and Tuesday at the Wigwam, the Gold Course. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brad. Good morning. Good to see you.
Yeah, good seeing you.
Good to be here. Thanks.
How are things? How's the program doing?
Hey, things are great. Thanks for asking. competitive team.
Yeah.
D1's a little tougher. We're finding out there's some good golfers in the world. Everybody wants to play golf, but it's okay. Our team, our girls are doing good.
So going from Division II, and I've asked this of every coach who's come on, to Division I, and some have said no different whatsoever, which I think is just them saying, look, we're here to compete against the best and all that stuff. But you brought it up, Don, about golf. How is it? Is it not just your ones and your twos? Is it you go down the list, their threes and fours are that much better?
I see it mostly in the ones and twos.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, there's a layer of players that have the money and the resources and the wherewithal to compete on an international level and a national level, and so they're playing in the big tournaments, the U.S. Amateur, the Western Amateur, the Trans-Mississippi. The list goes on. That elite group of athletes are being recruited by everybody because they're players. They understand the game. They know they have the savvy and how to get around the golf course, and so they make a big difference between that first and second or third and fourth player. So everybody's trying to get those. And that's the real difference in, I think, in D1 to D2 golf is there's two or three players in the team that are shooting even par or under par mm-hmm. on a regular basis. So it makes a big difference.
In building this program, now you've done the men's golf team as well, correct?
Correct, last year.
So you were doing both teams.
Correct.
This year, just the women's team.
Correct.
So when you're out on the recruiting trail, where do you go? Your top players from Thailand, right? But you didn't go to Thailand to get your top player.
No.
Where do you go recruit? Is it Arizona? Is it the usual stomping grounds for hot golf? Where do you go?
Well, that's a good question. You've got to go a lot of different places. I was at the women's junior international tournament in Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana. But I didn't find Charlotte there. That was actually at a college combine. And
Charlotte's your number one.
Charlotte's my number one, Charlotte Jenkett. She's from Thailand, and she was a sleeper. I walked up to her, and I said, I'd like to find out, who are you? And she goes, well, my name is Charlotte. I said, well, what do you do? She goes, well, I'm a mathlete.
A mathlete?
No, I said, well, I thought you were a golfer. She goes, no, I'm a mathlete. I said, well, that's interesting. Well, anyway, she's just, that culture is so focused and so dedicated to what they're doing, and she's just an example, I think, of that culture. She's on purpose, on track. She gets so much out of her practice. In 2 hours, she gets probably more than most of my girls get in 4 hours of practice.
Really?
Because she's so focused, and that just makes a big difference. But I found her in a college combine. So to answer your question, you've got to look everywhere. There's a lot of good local kids, but the local kids, there's a lot of good golfers. But when you get above to the great golfers, which you need to have one or two in your team to kind of carry the four and five player, they're hard to find.
A mathlete.
A mathlete.
So what is the definition? What's Webster, Don Powers' definition of mathlete?
Mathlete. She competes in math competitions.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was just her being on time to things or that she's so precise. But she goes in competitions for math and she plays golf. So she's got the mind.
She's got the mind.
See, I'm one of those that has to figure it out.
Yeah, she's got the mind.
I
got
to use that term.
Well, I knew she'd keep a good scorecard, so I was pretty excited.
Yeah. When you go play with her, it's like, put down a four there, not a five. Come on, you're a mathlete.
Yeah.
Come on, I got distracted.
I know what you shot. I got an eye on you.
How about the rest of your team?
Rest of the team is good. I've got two seniors this year. Phoebe Sipa from England graduates, and Tiffany Hewitson from England, who's also a senior. They're both graduating this year. Tiffany broke her collarbone last year, so she was out at the end of the year when we went to the NCAA championship. We really missed her. She was on our team the previous year when we finished third in the nation. Last year we finished fifth, but we did not have her, and I think that really hurt us. I think we could have been a top four, maybe a top three contender in the NCAA championship last year. So we're going to lose those two, and then I've got a lot of juniors. And my star so far, besides Charlotte, has been Emily Kay. She's a local girl from Phoenix.
Hmm. What high school?
She went to Xavier.
Okay.
Yeah. Another good girl on my team that's been really good is Erin Olson. She won our tournament last year. She's been playing. She played great last year, but she's got some issues too. She's got some issues with her elbow. It's kept her out for some tournaments. So we hope to get her back. She won our tournament last year. Played terrific on the gold course, just beat everybody. Mm-hmm. So she was really on fire, and she's been playing good, but she's had a bad elbow, so we'll see. But She played good yesterday. She shot 73 on the gold course from the back tees. That's pretty good golf. So we hope to have her back in the mix.
Talk to the Lopes every week. This week, Don Powers, GC Women's Golf Coach. Their big event is next Monday and Tuesday.
Correct.
Out at the Wigwam at the gold course. And you have teams all over the country. Who's coming in for this
all
one?
Over the country. I've got Northern Arizona University right down the road's coming down to play. We've got Kansas State, Utah Valley in our conference. We've got, oh my gosh, I didn't bring my list with me.
That's all right. You got enough there.
Yeah, we got a good group. I mean, there's some good universities coming.
14, 16.
There's 15 teams altogether. Yeah, so there's some good competition.
That's good for business too, which I think is cool. I mean, those 15 colleges all coming out here to Arizona where they can come from Indiana where they're freezing their backsides off and come out here and play some golf at a beautiful place like the Wigwam.
It's going to be a very competitive tournament. There's some good teams coming. I expect to see a lot of good golf out at the Wigwam.
Now, every sport is different, I'm finding, in this transition from Division II to Division I. Some teams, and I'll just use Dan Marley from last week by example, they can't go to the conference tournament and compete. Can you go to the conference tournament in the WAC and compete in women's golf?
From what I hear at this moment, we can go as individuals. We can play five individuals. We can't play as a team. So in other words, we can't win it as a team, but our individuals can compete. And what I'm not sure about is if they can win it individually. I'm assuming they can, otherwise they wouldn't be in the tournament.
Right, right.
So we'll have a sense of how we're doing. What's going to be interesting is there's so many new schools in the WAC. I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to have the WAC championship because we've got so many new schools. So if it's only going to be for those who are seasoned to the WAC championship, there's only going to be four or five. They're going to be competitive.
Well, now I would think, too, that in what Grand Canyon brings to the game of golf is great golf courses. No offense to Las Cruces, New Mexico. I'm sure there's a nice course down there. Or to Cal State Bakersfield. I'm sure there's a nice course. But there's nothing like out here for these kids to go to and play at.
Oh, Brad, you're spot on. I mean, the weather here is just, look at the weather we have right now. Look at everywhere else in the country. We've got a great facility at the Wigwam. We got 54 holes of golf. And, the girls on our team are they're committed to golf. I mean, they're working out 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We've got trainers. We've got their own, people working with them, not only on physically but mentally. We've got some psychologists helping us out.
Wow, you've got
so
everything.
Yeah, so we're really dedicated to putting together a championship golf team. I can't wait until next year. I've got a young girl coming over from Arizona State University, Michaela Harmon, and she was 7-under par at the Silver Barrel tournament this year. She finished third. She played just absolutely terrific. I've got the Oregon State Amateur Champion coming next year.
Wow.
She'll be on the team, and so we're going to have a great team. I can't wait to see this team compete at D1. We're going to win some tournaments.
The selling point of Grand Canyon University, for those who haven't been out here, on its own merit. Now, you played in college at Arizona State.
Correct.
So you've been here in the Valley. But for those that are saying golf, GCU, connect the dots on that. When you're recruiting somebody, how do you connect the dots?
Well, first off, I talk about what a great college a Grand Canyon is, which is terrific. And I say that Grand Canyon is special, so we're looking for special people. To fill the need that we have on the golf team.
How many scholarships?
We have a little over six full scholarships.
Six full scholarships,
right.
and you're talking to these kids about what they can do here academically.
Right.
Before I cut you off there, you can continue now. What else is in your...
Well, being a Christian university is a great selling point. Mm-hmm. Kids like the fact that we are a Christian university. A lot of parents are thrilled about that. And then, of course, we've just got a great program. I mean, we traveled to Hawaii. Our last tournament was in Hawaii. We played great there. Charlotte won her first D1 tournament there. We've got a great schedule. Of course, we have the Wigwam to go to. We're practicing 5 days a week. And the athletes have tutors, athletic support. So it's a complete package. And honestly, when I went to Arizona State, I had a great experience, an All-American and whatnot, but they didn't have the resources that Grand Canyon has provided our athletes, and I'm really excited that they have that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming by for a couple of minutes.
Hey,
great
Brad.
Stories there.
Yeah, thank you.
No
Good
problem.
To be here.
Good luck this weekend.
Thanks so
Actually,
much.
Next Monday and Tuesday.
I invite everybody to come see us.
That's out at the Wigwam. The Wigwam, that is next week. The Wigwam GC Women's Invitational next Monday and Tuesday, that's out at the Gold Course. And again, Don Powers coming by. That is Talk to the Lopes. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports 360 AZ. AZ Central Sports on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Facebook as well. Go a lot of different directions. Love being out of Grand Canyon University. We've been coming out here for the last 3 months. And continuing on, there's a lot of great sports out here. Stay with us as we continue on a busy Tuesday.